lights.
Thanks very much, Deacon Hendricks. Saints of God, brethren, fellow exiles, those longing for home, those who have come to again signal their impatience with this world, their impatience with this life, their dissatisfaction. I greet you in the name of our soon coming King and Lord. I greet our brethren from the hills of St. Elizabeth, up in the hills of the rural parts of St. James, our brethren from the Maroon Town congregation who, with their very meager means in this day of small things, have made it possible for themselves to not only be here for the last great day as we traditionally expect them, but to begin the Feast of Tabernacles with us. One of the tasks I've set myself is to help the brethren through some neglected books of the Bible. And for some time now, I've been going through little explored books like Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah. These books people couldn't even find in the Bible. Oh no, some of you can't find them. And I've been picking out some gems from these books. Because the reason I don't have 66 books is that we should understand them. Some of us, we know some Psalms. We know something from the Gospels and the Epistles. And some of you like prophecy know a bit more Revelation. Car 2137, yes. Jimmy, I don't know what kind of car is that. It's blocking the general manager. No, the general manager is not a person to be blocked. As you mentioned, cars and brethren, we have to really fight for our attitudes. We have to work because, listen to me, Satan is on the job. Now, I'm a man, just as I am in my physical appearance, I like my vehicle to be immaculate. I see people driving on car with scratches and things. I don't like scratches. The simplest a scratch, I send to get it fixed. But you see, man, plagued with scratches and bumps. I have a driver who drives well, but keep on bumping into things. And my other driver, my wife. You know, some people can't drive, but they can't park. Some people can't drive, but they can't park. Don't get any car to park. Then we drive on a highway, drive anyway, but go park. I thank God for a man here named Stuart. That man, you were talking about, you know, man who can do body work. Listen, Stuart introduced me to a set of men. One, him saved me a lot of money. I don't know why I can't thank Stuart enough. Top professionals. Reasonable, excellent workers on BMW. But I have had to be selling my car because I like my thing immaculate, man. I can't stand this scratch on them thing in my car. My car must be immaculate. It's a representation of me. So last week now, them scratch up the car. Sunday, had it immaculate for the feast. Ready for the feast, fix it up immaculate and so on. We do it. So I come to rejoice at the feast now. I come and I hear Madge come and bless all the place. And Brother Sweet say, great attitude. When I go down, my driver's here, so he's there. I go in my vehicle to go home to prepare my sermon. He said, boy, Mr. B, you want to see me? I come in. I got one of your brethren that direct me. And trying to help me. And direct me in a post and the car scratch up. So I just hear, I just go to the service. Don't let anything bother you. And I'm preaching these things up to Monday night.
You're
I said, what? Him say, yeah, but I feel down. I had him feel feedback. I have no time. So come down here and the first night. So I said, where? Him said, boy, the member said, not tell pastor till tomorrow. But that's, but you know, no, but I'm going to improve my testimony next year, you know. I'm going to improve my testimony to the point where I said, listen to me, if you're telling me no, it's not going to make any difference. So I looked on the thing.
And so it wasn't even like the one last week near around the back, which you could hardly see. But right at the front. But I say, brethren, let us rejoice despite all of these things. So rejoice with me. It shall not affect anything. I shall rejoice. But watch out, Satan, the very things that mean a lot to us. You're a man who drives in the car up a lick. That wouldn't mean nothing to you, because I'm not accustomed to do that. I don't like that. You're going to be tested in things that matter. You're going to be tested. That's what the feast is about. Just expect it. Expect some things to go wrong. But remember, we are responsible. Remember, man in the mirror, I am the problem. It's not the car lick. I am the problem. It is not what happens to me, but what happens in me. We have the power. So it's time for me to practice these things. But as I was saying, I'm bringing the brethren through the books. It's important for us to know the books of the Bible. Not only that, we must have a sense of biblical history. A lot of Christians don't understand. They don't know who were the pre-exilic prophets. Who were the prophets before the exile? When was the Babylonian exile? People have no idea. How near did Jeremiah live to Jesus? People have no idea. How near did Samuel? These things we ought to know. You say, I know Bible. It's not a matter of knowing doctrine. In fact, to properly understand doctrine, it's good to have an historical understanding, historical sweep. So when you look at the Bible, you should have an idea what Nahum is about, what Joel is about, what Zephaniah is about, what Habakkuk is about. What were the conditions of the people of Israel? And they must know, was this prophet prophesying to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom? To Judah or to Israel? You need to understand that. And I think that one of the things that our tradition gives us, because of our teaching on who Israel is and, you know, nations in prophecy, is that it really gives us that kind of understanding. But a lot of our people don't really go deep. And so what I want to do today, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, is to introduce you to another book, and one that is very relevant in terms of its theme. Now let me ask you, which of the 12 minor prophets, and you need to know that, who were the 12 minor prophets? There were the major prophets and the minor prophets. You need to have all of these kind of understanding. Which of the 12 minor prophets spoke more about the Messiah? Does anybody in my congregations know the answer to that? Which of the 12 minor prophets gave more messianic prophecies than everyone else of the minor prophets? And is second only, even to the major prophets, is second only to Isaiah in terms of messianic prophecy. Which? No. Not Micah. See, we need to have an idea of this. Which of the prophets? It was indeed Zechariah. More messianic prophecies are in Zechariah than in any other Old Testament book except Isaiah. And it has more messianic prophecies than all the other 11 minor prophets. It is also the longest of the minor prophets. And who was he contemporaneous with? Zechariah. Which other prophet was around at his time, prophesied the same time to the same people? Let me test your knowledge. Sorry? Haggai. Started about 2 months after Haggai. Haggai prophesied about 4 months. He started after. Who was Zechariah prophesying to? Was he a pre-exilic prophet or a post-exilic prophet? Who was Zechariah? Who was he prophesying? What period of Israel's history was Zechariah prophesying? Sorry? Yeah, can you look in the margin of your Bible? But 520 AD was what kind of period? After what signal event did that follow? After the Babylonian exile. So Zechariah was speaking to Israel after they had been exiled. And how long were they exiled in Babylon? All right, 70 years. These are all important. And if you can understand last day prophecy. So, you know, a lot of people say no Bible and no doctrine, but they are ignorant about many things. And when you come to the Feast of Tabernacles, a part of the reason is you must improve your knowledge. Last year, I spoke on Nahum. Let you leave the feast with more knowledge about the Bible. So we must know the Bible. We must know the writers. Know their Like Zechariah, for example, what age group he was? Was he a, you know, young man, middle-aged man, old man, what? What? Zechariah, have any indication? That's important too. Who was Zechariah? Who was Zechariah really? The prophet, eh? Huh? But he was also a priest. He was a prophet and a priest. Came from a priestly family. Zechariah has more, there are no fewer than 51 allusions to Zechariah in the Bible. 41 direct quotations. Sorry, in the New Testament. 41 direct quotations. 51 allusions. In the book of Revelation, no prophet, no book is alluded to more, apart from Ezekiel, than Zechariah. We need to understand, many of you all you know about Zechariah 14. But before Zechariah 14, you need to understand the context of Zechariah 14. And it takes on added meaning, Zechariah 14 does, when you understand the mission of Zechariah and what the purpose of the book of Zechariah was. So we're teaching from the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles pictures the establishment of the government of God on the earth, the restoration of the government of God on the earth, because it was in the Garden of Eden. It represents a time when the millennial kingdom will be ushered in, when Israel will be regathered, a new covenant will be made with Israel. Jerusalem again will become the center of the Lord's activity. All of these themes are very important in the book of Zechariah. And a lot of you read, you're like when you read the Bible, you rush through. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. You don't know that even the mention of Darius is important. Even the way it is introduced, it is important. You need to learn these things. Why mention the 2nd year of Darius? Why? Why the 2nd year of Darius? Because there was no Israelite king to date. When you read the kings, in the days of King Asa, when Israel has no king, because even though they were out of Babylon in captivity, they were still vassals of Babylon. So they had, it was the times of the Gentiles, they had to make reference. So the very start, is the mic working? The very start of the book tells you something. This is a people in subjection. The people are not free. You don't have a king. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. Go back to Leviticus 26. It is because of your sins why you don't have a king. You are not a state. So you don't go through the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord. The fact that you have to date it in relationship to the King Darius shows you are in a sorry position. So even before we tell you the word of the Lord come, you're in an awful position. You have nothing to boast about. Humble yourself. Because your sins have brought you there. What are the broad themes of Zechariah? Repentance and restoration. You can't have restoration without repentance. Church of God, nobody come here now and look about kingdom. You cannot have restoration without repentance. That's why Deuteronomy 14 says, when you keep the feast, you do it to learn to fear the Lord your God always. For the 8 days, you must have a plan. The 8 days must be a plan to deal with your sins which have separated between you and God. It makes no sense to be dependent. You have some people love talk about prophecy and argue about prophecy. I mean, I give them sometimes, but because I have to be courteous. But they have no interest in repentance. You know? They have no interest in righteous living. In talking about how to overcome sin. It's just a lot of talk about this doctrine and this prophecy. Most I think which them don't even understand and don't have the learning to master anyway. It doesn't make sense to have all this fascination with restoration, fascination with the prophecies. Listen to me, you're going to hear a lot here, you know. The horns and the flying scroll. I wonder if them kind of fascinated thing to get a man, the religious hobbies excited. The flying scroll and the four horns and... Because he got 8 visions in one night. Zechariah had 8 visions. Someone who love all them something, you know. Zechariah is a book. The religious hobbyists will love it and miss the main points of repentance. Elder Coley, repentance. A man a walk around with check out the plumb line. Man a walk with a measuring rod. Pull off. Repentance. Because the very reason for the Babylonian captivity, the reason why
The government of God is not on the earth here now. It's because of sin. That's what is that's what is separate. That's why the kingdom is look holy. So it don't make sense. We have studied prophecy and study what is to come. And study the sequence of prophecy. And the sequence of our lives in a mess. Our life mix up. Our life blender up. Our life crush up. Our life was sort out in the right way. Not the way most of us are sort out in ourselves. We are sort out in ourselves in a hell. But the man of God come here today. The man of God come with a measuring rod here today. Him come for measure. And I hope we no can measure up. So you must note, when you read Bible, get everything out of it. In the second year of Darius, it could not mention a king. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. The word of the Lord came. Oh, who was Zechariah? The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. Well, your prophet and run. No, we don't run left that yet. Because that is self-significant. Don't run away from the names. The name is significant. And the names are significant in relationship to the book. Because what does Zechariah mean? Yahweh remembers. Hallelujah. They were in captivity. They were in bondage. They never have them one king. But Yahweh remembers. The very name of the prophet tells his mission. Hey, will you give me power in my mic, you know? Hey, we don't want to do a mess up with my mic, you know, brethren. We don't power the place with mic, with sounds, you know. Word, sound, and power. The very name, Zechariah. Yahweh remembers. But then about Zechariah alone. His father's name, Berechiah, means God blesses. The father's name is God blesses. And his grandfather's name, Iddo, had the time appointed. Yahweh remembers. Yahweh blesses. At the time appointed. Because God has appointed a day. Hallelujah. Where him ever judge the earth. In righteousness. And with equity. Nothing before God's time. God member. God remembers. But in God's time. Be patient. Stand still and watch the salvation of Yahweh. Hallelujah. We don't go on in the book yet and look how much we get in. If some man study Bible. We're going in Zechariah. When you go home, you will learn something new. You will have more information you never had before. You will learn about a book. It's good to sing and to shout and to dance. But you must learn. We are the balanced church of God. We have everything. We have singing. We have dancing. We have praising. We have lifting up of holy hands. The Old Testament worship we have. We restore Old Testament worship. Sing and shout. But we restore Old Testament teaching. So Yahweh remembers. Yahweh blesses at the appointed time. And it says to the prophet, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Remember now, you know. The rebuilding of the temple going on. Agai, it is start and stop. People them start dealing with them one thing. Remember, I gave you the book. I do it in Kingston. I did Agai. I showed you all the things stop. Man start dealing with them own business now. They came back with enthusiasm. 50,000 came back from Babylon. Not everybody came back. 50,000 came back. After a time, they got caught up in their own business, like many of you. Time to study, time to date. Time to work two jobs. Get caught up in your own thing. Come church and Sabbath and thing, but your mind, you're caught up in the world. Sometimes you come church and Sabbath, you're tired. Leave the work for the few zealots to do. Zechariah reminded them the first thing through Yahweh. The Lord was angry with your fathers. That is why you're just coming out of captivity. I don't want you to forget why you are where you are. Church of God, as we prepare for the kingdom of God, I want you to know that the fact that the church is so split up today, God is angry with our spiritual fathers. We must understand why we come to this state in the church of God. And the implicit message is we must learn from the mistakes of our fathers and don't do it again. When each person takes responsibility
and not watching past no other member is not leaving any church of God. Except the church of God becomes like the worldwide, an apostate, false church. It remains once the truth is being taught. Your father's sin. Therefore, says Yahweh, return to me, and I will return to you. You have a lot of people who want God to return to them first. No, God calls. God draws. But you must return to God. God is not going to call. You must return. You must make a step of faith toward God. At the Feast of Tabernacles, we have 8 years, you know. I want you to use the time as means of returning to God. I don't want you to use all the time just visiting from one house to the next because it's so much away there. Don't spend all your time just renewing old acquaintances. Renew your acquaintance with the Lord. It might be your last feast, you know. Last year we had 2 persons, they did not know it was the last. It doesn't matter your age. It's not only old age people are dying from. It could be your last feast. Use your last feast wisely if it is your last. It could be my last. I want to use it wisely. I can't worry about no lick up car. Can I? I forget about it. Only the Lord bring it back. As an illustration in the sermon, Elud, don't doubt that. Return. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the father of prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways. But they did not heed. You know what he was saying? There were people of the past who did not make any change. Don't be like them. Learn from the mistakes of those who have fallen away from the church. They did not listen to pastor's sermons. Him warned about people falling away. How many times pastors preach about falling away? And those who are falling away and those sit down and still fall away. Do not be like them. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Brethren, the Babylonian captivity claimed even the prophets themselves. Even the prophets and the leaders fell away. Even the prophets fell away. Jeremiah prophesied against them. They were brain after the neighbor's wife. They were corrupt. It's a long time we have corrupt leaders in the church of God. But it still is the church of God. Despite the corruption of the leaders. The corruption of the leaders of the church of God does not make it not the church of God. And the book of Zechariah tells you the plan that Yahweh has to clean up that corruption. The book is complete. So, we read at first this reminder. On the 24th day of the 11th month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. I want you to know that the Lord remembers. The son of Berechiah, he blesses the son of Edo. And he's going to do it at another point in time. I saw in the night, and behold, a man rides upon a red horse. You go back in Revelation. You see the connection. You see the calamities. I said, what are these? The angel talked to me and said, I will show you what they are. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered. And in fact, the myrtle trees featured prominently at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the man who was standing, he said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, the earth remains at rest. Then the angel of the Lord said, oh Lord of hosts. And by the way, even this mention of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, you know, means, you know, this is not small Lord, you know. This is a Lord who commands hosts. So you see, when you mash down, when you pop down, and you hear, say, your God, I want big God. And I want to go small God, you know. Is the Lord of hosts. The host of the angels. The armies is the Lord of hosts. I serve the Lord of hosts. I don't serve a God because there are gods that were gods in various territories, in various localities. Yahweh was not a tribal God. Yahweh was the God of hosts. Hallelujah. When I don't begin to understand them books I'm not reading, when I just pick out like a part of Zechariah 14, or some foolish man like Flory write something, I'm going to check out what Zerubbabel mean and gone with that. Thing or some rubbish that he writes. Study these things, man. Read scholars and study and understand these books. They patrol the earth. How long will thou have no mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which thou hast indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered gracious, comforting words to the angel who talked to me. So the angel who talked to me said, cry out, thus says the Lord of hosts,
I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. And I'm very angry that the nations are at ease. For while I was angry for a little while, they furthered the disaster. In other words, Yahweh used these nations to punish Israel. But they were oppressive in their punishment. And Yahweh said, I'm going to punish you. Even though I used you to punish them, I'm going to punish you. And you saw where some of those nations got the hammer in. We're going to see that in the prophecy. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassion. My brethren, it does not matter the state of the church of God. It doesn't matter how you see the state, the church of God mash up and we sin. God is going to return to us. It does not matter the litany of sins. You can go on the internet and read about the sins of all leaders in the church of God. You can read about the corruption of our ministers. It does not matter. Yahweh is still going to have compassion on us. Just as he will with Israel, with Judah, because he's a God of compassion. His mercies come out like the dew. If we are going to be like God, we must be people of forgiveness and compassion. It doesn't matter what people do. We must be like our Father in heaven. If we are imitating God, if we want to be like God, God is characterized by compassion. We must forgive easily and willingly. Some people do something sometime, you know, I don't want to forgive so easily. But if I am training to be like God, I must imitate his primary characteristics, his hesed. Therefore, just as the Lord, I return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house shall be rebuilt. Zechariah is a prophecy of the reestablishment of Jerusalem as the apple of Yahweh's eyes. Zechariah was to comfort the people, to tell them, even though you have sinned, Yahweh is going to build you back. That was the purpose of Zechariah. Brethren, we could have no more relevant start to the feast, I thought, than to focus on these prophecies of the kingdom. The importance of repentance and restoration. It says, my cities cry again, thus says the Lord, verse 17 of chapter 1. My cities shall again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion, and again choose Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because Yahweh remembers. And one of the false doctrines of most of the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, one of the false doctrines is that God has rejected Israel. One of the false doctrines is that the church has forever replaced Israel. That is a lie. God will again, despite the unfaithfulness of Israel, God will make her his people. In Zechariah, in Ezekiel 37, they say, we have lost all hope. And Yahweh said, no. And they said, boy, son of man, can these bones live? Yahweh said, yes. Adventist church said, no. But let the Adventist church be a lying church. But Yahweh's word stands up. Hallelujah. You can't have Sabbath and don't have that truth. The restoration of Israel. Because the Lord said, I'm going to bring the two sticks together in that day. And David shall be king over them. One of the great truths that God restored in his one true church through Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong was that truth. Of the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel. And the man whom God used before, G.G. Rupert, his publication was named The Hope of Israel. It's an important truth that God has had in his end time church. The hope of the restoration of Israel. God has only rejected them for a time. But in the millennium, he's going to regather them and Jerusalem will be his pride and joy. The churches are looking to go to heaven. They are looking to go to heaven. But Jerusalem, Zion, is the apple of Yahweh's eyes. All of these great truths God has given his one true church and restored them in these last days through Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. We rejoice in these truths and the restoration. How could they teach that? Now, it's an Old Testament thing. You go in Romans 11. Romans 11 is plain. I don't know which Bible the Adventists have. Romans is very plain. God has not rejected his people, Paul says in verse 2. And he asks in verse 11, I ask, as Israel stumbled to fall, by no means, but through their trespass salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? There will be a full inclusion to Israel. Hallelujah. The doctrine of the replacement of Israel, called in the church, is replacement of Israel. It's a satanic doctrine from the pit of hell. It's a satanic doctrine that God has rejected the physical nation of Israel. He has not. It's a lie. And I lifted up my eyes and behold, four horns. And I said to the angel who talked to me, what are these? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. The four horns. Nations. The four horns. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Media, Persia. Scattered Israel. Of Israel's traditional enemies. He said, you see the horns that scatter Israel? It's all right. You don't take any vengeance against them. Because you don't take any vengeance. Because you were something, no daddy. Then the Lord showed me four smiths. Where is my four smith? Metal workers. Some metal workers. Stone workers. Hammers. These smiths, they're going to hammer. You see those nations that scatter you? Are going to rise up some others. That way, hammer the dickens out of them. The craftsmen. Going to get some craft work. You see Babylon, you see, watch my, you see them mighty? Are going to raise up others. What God do you know? He raise up one enemy against another enemy and contribute and do them. When we don't do right, God made the people of the world punish us. But feed them, be a form. You see God's people? Careful. All when we're wrong. All when we're wrong. Careful. Careful of God's people. All when we're wrong. Be careful of the Lord's anointed. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. My judgment and cross is come for you. You hear a warning? Me say, even when the people of God doing wrong, pray, some disaster reach you now. When I wonder why we reach you now. I tell you now. Repentance, restoration. Then the Lord answered with the force. He said, what are these coming to? He answered, these are the horns which scattered Judah, so that no man raise his head. And these have come to terrify them. I'm going to bring some other nations now and raise them up. To hammer them. Babylon was eventually hammered in a night attack by the Medo Persians in 539 BC. Darius had a victory. Alexander had victory over Darius in 333 BC. And then the Greeks hammered the Medo Persian on. And of course, in the second century, the Roman hammer fell. But the Roman Empire is going to be revived in the last days. Chapter 2, and I lifted my eyes, and I saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. A man with a measuring line. Then I said, where are you going? And he said, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it is breadth and what it is length. You have money at church, that tall boy don't judge you. You better leave the church of God then and go somewhere else. Once in a Jerusalem, once in a church of God, you're going to measure. A man with a measuring rod will come to measure the church of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It's judgment time now. And the judgment of Christ comes for God's people. That time you'll get the reward. You'll be judged now. The man with the measuring line is walking around now in the church of God. Going to straighten up with himself. Because man with measuring line. Repentance. You have 8 days. Make sure you're talking about prophecy and kingdom coming. It's going to be a day of blackness and gloominess. For some, it will not always, it will not be universally a day of great news. You need humility. When the man, Sister Foley, with his measuring line, don't resist him. Sometimes you hate the man with the measuring line, you know. I know him 6 feet, the man said, you're 5'10½. Don't argue with the man with the measuring line. Humble yourself. You know you feel like you're 6 feet. Humble yourself. Don't cross the man with the measuring line. Don't stand them on top of your friend and top of them. He might go on something, but he's measure smart. You don't business with feet measurement. Business with your own measurement. And how you come sharp. Figure 40 my feet sharp. You deal with your inadequacies. The man with the measuring line. And behold, the angel who talked with me came forward. Another angel came forward to meet him. And said to him, run and say to that young man. That young man is Zechariah. So we know him as a young man. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle. Listen to me something. that measuring line can be judgment, but there was a hope in it. You know what Yahweh was actually saying? You see, the Israel that is now scattered. You see, Israel that, well, is only few of the people relatively came back. There is going to come a time when Jerusalem will be inhabited as villages without walls. And normally, when you hear about a village or a place without wall, you think insecurity. So why the wall is broken or insecurity? The opposite. In other words, they're going to be so much blessings in so much. You're going to press out the place. The borders can't hold you. You're going to have to enlarge the borders. The time is coming up when we're going to spread out. We're going to spread out. We're going to enlarge the borders. Hey, we're not remaining the same way like we are now. We're going to spread out. Hey, I spread out. Time will come. You're large up. Time will come. A time will come when them can't continue it. That's the message of the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Our time coming. We are going to, listen, man, we're going to be so large. We must just keep our minds on that time. Keep our minds on what is to come. Use these 8 days, I can only imagine, as the sister sang. But listen to this. It will be without wall. Look at verse 5. For I will be to her a wall about her, says Yahweh. Yahweh will be the wall. Don't fret. And even today, you know, in our lives, a lot of things happening to us. We must be with Yahweh is the wall. No matter see there, we don't want my sight. Yahweh is our wall. We don't depend on man-made bricks. We don't depend on physical security. No. Yahweh, we stand in Yahweh. And we lean back against Yahweh. We have the wall, you know. We lead back and we spread out. In Jesus. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We spread out. We lean on the wall. Yahweh. Secure. Relax. Easy like Sabbath morning. We eyes closed because we fear no one. Because we're against the wall of walls and the rock of rocks. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Our wall. Impenetrable. Wall. Can't be broken through. You don't want a better wall than that. Yahweh. Oh-ho! And it's not Christmas ho-ho, you see. Oh-ho! Well, listen, brethren. There's a condition. There's a price you have to pay to rest against this wall. There's a price. Flee from the land of the north, which is Babylon. You have to flee Babylon. There's no way to get in Babylon. You can't have Babylon. And you're on the wall. Because the wall outside of Babylon. Hallelujah. We send the wall outside of Babylon. He must send himself in Babylon. Because of Zion and love. Flee. You men of God's people. I see the furnace again. What we should have in the picture? We are exiles. We are not attached to this world. We are in themes of tabernacle in Zechariah. Most of us don't know about Zechariah 14. We are establishing this world. Career, business, love, life. Those are the priorities for us. We have to flee Babylon. We have to come out from among them. That you may not perceive our plagues. It don't make sense to keep. This is some of your people call your people in peace and you attend in peace and you believe in Sabbath. You are protected, not protected. Some pastors will tell you. And if you start fasting, I'm people on foot, but I'll be more than people in fasting, alright. There are some people that you can't talk about religion. There are some religious hobbies. They talk about religion from morning to night. So they don't want to eat food. They talk about gospel morning to night. Religious hobbies. So say there are some people trying to stop and they talk about stuff. Some people talk about sports. I don't know about that in a Bible. But no life. No transformation. No transformation, no change. Talk to their family, talk to their friends, talk to their poor workers. No different from the world. Church of God. God wants righteousness, not ritual. Righteousness over ritual. Is righteousness going to deal with? About feasts and tithes and Sabbath and doctrines. When you live right, you can't talk doctrine. When you live right, you teach Bible. I come here, teach Bible. You know, go in a prophecy. Go in at that time, man. Talk about your doctrine at that time when you live right, when you have power. Listen to me. You see, it's chapter 2. Three important things mentioned in chapter 2. The first, you must flee Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory has sent me to the nations that who have plundered you. Behold, I shake my hand over them and so on, and they become plundered. So you must flee Babylon. Verse 10. Sing and rejoice. Yeah, listen to me. You see, when you flee Babylon now, and when you flee Babylon, you can't sing and rejoice. Mister, when you flee Babylon now, you put yourself in a position, you can't sing and rejoice because you're resting against a wall. All you see, the hands, they must come. You see all the problems they must come. You're calling. You're resting against a wall. Them don't know where they're back at you. Them don't know your back at you. So they must run, come. Make them run, come feed. Make them run, come get it. Make them run, come in at it. I know you don't understand anything, but Bill Ross, it's all right. You will get a part of the sermon. I will speak English sometimes. I'm speaking in tongues here now. Godly tongues. I'm speaking in godly tongues. But I'll give you a part of it. Just like how some of your southern accent, I won't understand this evening. But the Lord will give me the essence of your message. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching today. I feel like preaching the word. I feel. I feel something in my bones that I must let out. And I cannot keep quiet. For Jesus. Because I'm against the wall. I rest securely against the wall. You might not see the wall, but I'm against the wall. Not like what the world says when you're back against the wall. This is the right kind of back against the wall. This is an easy back against the wall. This is a sing and rejoice back against the wall. Ah, back against the wall. Relaxing. Hey, it's the coolest. Hey, that this wall is very good for my back. It's not hurting my back at all. Back against the wall. Doesn't hurt at all. You cannot fall. No, no, not at all. Hallelujah, Hall. Sing and rejoice. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord, and on that day shall be my people. That day, the Bible says Egypt will be called my people. Assyria will be called God. You see, this day, brethren, it's a day of unity, tabernacles. It's not only going to be Israel's day. Israel was supposed to have been a blessing to the nations. That will come to pass in the millennium. Israel will bless all the nations. Jesus, that root, that branch, huh? That Zechariah talks about, that branch, that true shepherd of all the flock. He's going to gather all the flock, Jews and Gentiles. It's not a matter of race. It's grace. It's not talking about ethnicity. Don't worry about ethnicity and so on. Because eventually all of us are going to be gathered in. All of us are going to be joined. So it's not about spending hours of time finding out who is real. It's nice to find out. You know, but I don't spend hours on it. I want to talk about whoever you think is real. Whoever you think is real, black man or Indian man or what. Make sure you live up Israel's law. That's all I said to you. Where will you find it? You make sure you live up to righteousness. Whoever you say. If you say Israel is white man or black man, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just follow Israel's laws. Yes. You prove that. Once you prove that, you're okay. But verse 13 is the third part. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. Be silent. The first thing is flee Babylon. Then you sing and rejoice because you flee Babylon. Listen to me, brethren. Sometimes you reach some place in your life. You're a lost for words. You don't know what to say. Sometimes something hits you. You don't know where they're coming from. Even when you get to the wall, you know. You get some hit. The wall is still there. But you get hit there, you're going to have some. You go to the wall, you know. Sometimes I will look to talk. I will look to give out another reason.
Be silent.
Be still and know that there is God. Get yourself out of the way. Get even your thoughts out of the way. Get your thoughts out of the way.
Be still. Where did Elijah find the people? The wolf and lions? Be still. Before the Lord. Sometimes something happens in your life. You don't know what is that. Be still. Sometimes something happens in the church. Do not run. Sometimes some problems are in the church. Do not go anywhere. Be still. And see the salvation. You come before your Red Sea. Don't panic and dig or jump in. Be still. Be still and let Yahweh work for you.
Why can't we be still and not fret? You know why? Because the Lord has roused himself
from his holy habit. Hallelujah. When Yahweh coming and doing the work, you don't have to move, sister. Sister Yahweh doing work. Yahweh has roused himself from his holy habit. So when Yahweh moving, make Yahweh go ahead and move in the confidence in Yahweh.
When you rest in God, you know, be still. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Satan standing to accuse him. I talked about this at Satan's accuser, the brethren. When you want to see who Satan work you in a church, listen to those who have the most accusation. It's pain, you know. You know what I think? You just listen to those who have most accusation. The child of God forgives. The child of God cover up. The child of God not spread nothing. Church of God, we're not silent, but me have to preach, you know. We don't like this. Because that town are guilty. I says, the child of God is not everything good to eat, good to talk. Love covers a multitude of sins. The man with the measuring line is walking about. Let us watch those who attack and accuse. Take out your measuring line and judge. Judge those who are covering. And judge those who are revealed. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. I said, with all the problems of the church of God, God is going to work things out. Don't put it by your head like cutter and worry yourself and fret. Just pray. God is going to work it out. Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And those were standing before him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. Jesus, the Messiah, will clothe his priests. Jesus is the one who will cleanse the church. Jesus is the sanctifier of the church. Zechariah 3 is an encouragement to those of us in the end times. The Bible says, because the love of many will wax cold, because iniquity will increase, the love of many will wax cold. We are not going to be like Satan, accusing the brethren. We are going to pray and have compassion. And we see that his guilt was removed. Chapter 4. And the angel of the Lord talked with me again and waked me like a man who was waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? I said, I behold a lampstand, all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and 7 lamps in it. You go back again to the allusions in Revelation. And the 2 olive trees. And you say, what are these? You have some people love all them something, man. It's been about 2 hours after my sermon outside, you know, talking about these things. That's how I get out of it, you know. Why, who are the real olive tree? The man should go in at that. And who are the 7 lamps? That's all I'm interested in. Man, I name one dinner, you know, but when second service, you know, I'm outside, I talk about that. But the thrust of this. So what are, then the angel would talk to me. He said, do you not know these are? I said, no, my Lord. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the man who was to build the temple, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. No matter the problem, listen to me. There were people who were discouraging the Israelites and saying, you can't rebuild the temple. You feeble people, go back to Nehemiah. You feeble.
It doesn't matter what. You're connected with the Holy. You're connected with the Holy Spirit. The branch, the Messiah, the monks, the lampstand. It is not by power or by might. So no matter the great mountain, it shall be plain before you. The mountain will come down.
This man, if you have faith like a grain of mountain, so you said to the mountain, move, I must move. We need that kind of faith in the church of God. No But I look and say, church small. Church mash up. Listen to me. The two olive trees, when the two witnesses start for them work, when our gospel start move out, the testimony start get out. Listen to me. Our greatest days are not behind us. Our greatest days were not the 70s. When we were on so many radio stations and the Armstrongs were in their height. Our greatest days are before us. And the church of God must believe that. Our greatest days are not behind us. We are going to rock the nations with this true gospel here. It's going to be proclaimed in power before the end time. We might not see it now, you know. You see, it's only going to mash up church. That's not going much place. It's all right. The Lord is here. It's not by power that this temple is being rebuilt.
Then you shall know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Verse 10. For whoever despises the day of small things shall rejoice.
A time is going to come when indeed we shall rejoice.
He says, these seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth. The Bible says, no, the Lord, I look all over, you know, brethren. Hey, female, is it up? Seven is the place of confusion. No man, the Lord, how you look all over the place, you know? When you don't see, God see. You don't see everything, you know? Him eyes are roam all over. That means, no matter how much you suffer, him don't miss you, him see you. Don't feel you so busy with other things. The Lord see you. No matter how you think you're small, mother, the Lord see you. No matter how you feel, say, you're buried under your problems. The Lord see you. You feel you're under a cloud. The Lord see you. You feel say you're in the pit of hell. The Lord see you. And when you are doing your wrongs, the Lord see you. When you have broke the commandments, the Lord see you. When you have slandered the brethren, the Lord see you. We are talk, we are not supposed to talk. In the privacy of your house. By your cell phone. The Lord see you. I remind the church of God. Him eyes all about. And him see you. The Lord see you. God continues to speak to Isaiah. In Zechariah, we see the flying scroll. In chapter 5, lift up my eyes, saw a flying scroll. So what do you see? I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, its breadth is 10 cubits. This is a curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. For everyone who steals shall be cut off. Everyone who swears, I will send forth. It shall enter the house of a thief. You see? You have to talk about prophecy. You know? You have to come back to basic things. Brethren said, oh yeah. You have to come back to some basic things. Excuse me. Come back to repentance. I would advise you that rather than go outside and spend 2 hours talking about the scroll, talk about the part where you say you must stop tell lie. Think about the part you must stop thief. I mean, I say you mustn't find out what the scroll is, either. But there are some clearer things where you have to find out. Stop swears falsely and master these things. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes and see what is it that goes forth. Verse 6 of Zechariah 5. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is the ephah that goes forth. The ephah that goes forth. This is the ephah. This was the largest measure in Israel. And he said, this is their iniquity in all the land. Their iniquity amounted to the greatest. So he used the ephah to describe the iniquity of the people. And behold, the leaded cover was lifted and there was a woman sitting in the ephah. You remember the woman we live in coming in a parable of Jesus? One fascinating sermon I heard once by Pastor Hall in Spanish Town was about the woman who keep woman and this 11 hiding the thing. I said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her back into the ephah and thrust down the leaden weight upon the mouth. Then I lift up my eyes and behold two women coming forward. Now that woman represents wickedness. I don't want you to go. They don't want to say that, but you find out. No, it's a woman represents pure wickedness. So in this case, it's a representation of, you know, Eve is what God is talking about. Verse 6, I lifted up my eyes and behold, four chariots came out from between the two mountains. Four chariots between the two. We know that mountains are often representative of government. And there are various interpretations of these mountains. Some feel it was Mount Zion and Mount of Olives. You know, with the valley between. Now, before the restoration, there are going to be a number of calamities that will hit people before the restoration comes. And what you see in the book of Zechariah are a number of prophecies to refer to the Messiah, the branch, Christ. You see Joshua as a representation, as Jesus. He comes back to a number of practical things. Look at this in chapter 7. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislew, that is December. December on our calendar. Yeah, around like Christmas time, you know. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sharzok and Reg-Emelech, their men, to entreat the favor of the Lord and to ask the priests of the house of the Lord and the prophets. Now listen to me. Before we go have a sleep, you know. You want to understand this chapter 7. You want to understand chapter 7, you know. Because I meet a lot of people in the Church of God. Locally, internationally. Meet them through literature. Now, ask the priests. So they sent to ask the priests, shall I mourn and fast in the fifth month, as I have done for so many years? Now, which command in the Bible you see? Where you must mourn and fast in the fifth month. We know about the fast in the seventh month, right? We know about the commanded fast of atonement. Well, the Jews had about five fasts. They had some fasts that came to commemorate various things to do with the destruction of the temple. So, it's a tendency among people, you know. When problems come, them substitute ritual. Them feel that ritual make up for them lack of transformation. See, I see some people, you know, them very religious, you know. But them very evilous. Some of the most wicked people, you know, they love church. Nobody can get that spirit more than them. Me say, nobody can get that spirit more than the wicked people, you know. Me say, sister, you have some people where they gossip and then tell lies. But none of them can raise up their hands and say them are raise up holy hands. They lie. They gossip. They're not good. They mean. But they love church and they love going in a church. Yeah, some people love doctrine, they love Sabbath and these things. But their lives, they're not following them on the basic things. That's why God said, take one of holy days and all the tramping and the court. Take away them something, man. And talk truth and start living with people. We don't oppress people. People of God, in time, our lives show some righteousness and some decency and some transformation. Don't just be here keeping feasts. And we can't deal with problems in the house. People stay long in the bathroom and start cuts. People eat too much. You come out and everybody in the church knows it. You see that person in Maga, in Kanyam, you see. Keep that in the house. Just start talking to me and I draw my measuring rod and I judge you and I know so you fall short. See how you can bust out in a praise and worship. Keep down some things, man. I carry out some things out of the yard. You behave badly. You malice people. You see people that come and say, you walk down all over, so. But you keep feast. No, man, you cut out them, sir. You come and feast to change those things, man. You come and feast to go in your room and think about yourself and say, you know, time is stopped to them things. You know, we say something to some people, I shouldn't tell them to you. And you come feast to change, man. So you hear them say, no. Should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I've done all these years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, said to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you have fasted and mourned in the fifth month, and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you really fasted? No, God, it was serious. Now, I said, you know, Sabbath me keep and so. He said, what? Well, because Isaiah 50 said, is this not the fast that I chose to undo the bands of wickedness? And to release. Sometimes you have a people in your cross so long. You have a people in your cross and you are fast. But God nyam some food and release the people them. Eat some food and get some strength for release the people them. And talk good about the people them. You have some people coming at free sight. And they can't dare come all this free sight, you know, because they hate in them heart. But they are keeping feast. I take out my measuring rod against them. And they measure short. It is time the church of God practices true Christianity. It's time that all of us judge each other by these standards and take out the measuring rod. Hypocrisy about keeping feasts and fasting and so on. And you can't stay in the same place with your brother because you have hate in your heart. And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, with her cities round about her, and the south and the lowland were inhabited, were not these words which the Lord proclaimed by your former prophets? And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy, each to his brother. They may tell the man about fasting. The man said, what up? Me know why you tell me about no fasting. Me why you deal with true judgments. Me why you have kindness to people. Me why you have mercy to people. That's more important to me about your fasting a fifth month. When me only command fasting a seventh month. Multiply ritual upon ritual. You have no kindness. You have no love. And you have no mercy. But you're fasting. You're keeping tabernacles. It's time, the church of God. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, the poor. And let none of you devise evil in your heart against your brother. You have some of you, you know, we now do some things. And we might feel you're righteous, but if we have a new way in your heart against some of your brethren, some of you look righteous with long dress. Long dress and sanctimonious. Are a lot of words like me. Don't exempt the preacher. If you know the heart. And the long dress and the sanctimonious look like you hate the world. When you look by your nose, boy, I hate the world. My dress show you like I'm a female Elijah. Better you put on your salt skirt and have love in your heart. Let none of you devise evil against your brother in your heart. From the Old Testament time, they might tell you, not just New Testament concept. Brethren, it makes sense. You come feast. And you hate your husband, you hate your wife. I tell you, use the time of the feast to get for love. Your unlovable husband and your unlovable wife. Use the time of the feast. Me know she have some dirty ways. Go back to Pastor Al Sermon. You are the problem. The man, the woman in the mirror. We know the person, you have an obligation. It makes sense. Your children have done some things awful. And you really, they have brought embarrassment to you and you would write them off. You have to restore love to these children. Them shame you. Some of us resent our children. We spend money on them and we have wasted the money. The fees, you must spend the time to learn to love your children. But they refuse to hearken and they turn a stubborn shoulder. And they stop their ears. Let us not be like that, brethren. Return to the Lord and he will return to you. They made their hearts like adamant, lest they should hear the law and the words. Therefore great wrath came from the Lord. And I scattered them with a whirlwind. Yes, because they were not keeping those in, brethren. The tabernacle is a time for us to learn to fear the Lord. We must use the next 7 years. Find some time amidst the various activities. Check out what's wrong with you. And the word of the Lord came, chapter 8. Saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy.
and I'm jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion, I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. This is a prophecy. God is going to restore Jerusalem. He's going to restore the government of God on the earth. Thus says the Lord, verse 9, let your hands be strong. You who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophet since the day of the foundation. Listen to me. We must strengthen ourselves. Hey, things are going to work out. You're broke today, Isaiah. You're not a fool.
Well, it won't always be so. It won't be long. All the troubles and trials. When I get the other side of Zion. When we're over there on the other side of Jordan, man. Won't be long now, you know. You can hear the hoofbeats of the horsemen of the apocalypse, you know. The horsemen, you know. They're trampling now. Hey, listen, man. We are looking up because our redemption draw now, you know. They're talking about Middle East peace. There'll be no peace until God is at the conference table. The United States has a lot of problems. The Bible predicts the United States would decline. United States, massive debt. And a mountain of debt owned by China. Imagine little China. Have so much now treasury bills. And China gets so feisty. They're talking about they don't want to use American currency. They want to use special drawing rights. The pride of America's power has been broken. The signs of the times are moving. Europe is getting stronger. Germany is getting stronger. You hear, see all these floods are taking place? You see the destruction of floods? We're going in Pakistan and so on. Hey, you think it's just normal? You see global warming, you see what's going on now? The horsemen are moving. The famines are here. When I see this atheistic magazine, Scientific American, the latest issue, the end, dealing with a number of things, special problems, Scientific American, mankind is on its last lap. The gun lap, as Mr. Armstrong used to say. Brethren, now we are nearer to salvation than when we first believed. Let us not slacken up now. We are nearer to the kingdom of God than last year when we came for the Feast of Tabernacles. The time is coming when the knowledge of the Lord will be all over. All nations will flow to Jerusalem. We read in verse 20 of Zechariah 8, thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities, so shall come and say, let us go up to entreat the favor of the Lord. Many people, strong nations, will seek the favor of the Lord. This passage is not understood by the churches. The churches teach that this is the only day of salvation. The churches do not know that there is coming a time when nations from all over will go up to Jerusalem and will be taught the truth. And there will only be one religion that time. There will only be one church that time. There will be no ecumenical movement. There will be no different churches. One church. One religion. One gospel. One God. One Him. One destiny. And we are with all of these false religions. The churches are teaching us the only answer. The churches do not understand the plan of God because they do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The church is teaching people that people are going to be burnt in hell forever. Now, how could a church be a church of God? They teach a man to go, how could God be so wicked? What can a man do in this life? That doesn't make God. That's why some Christian people are so wicked, because they can't believe in a God like that. If you can believe in a God that will burn a man for 1,000 years, more than 1,000,000,000,000 years. And that's the God of these preachers. But thank God, He has spared us from these false preachers. And He has given us a man who has restored the truth in the last days, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, who has taught us these great truth and who has been used as a kind of Zerubbabel to restore truth. All the nations that think that they are great, Zechariah talks about them. Tyre has built herself like a rampart and heaped up silver like dust and gold like the dirt in the streets. But lo, the Lord will strip her of all her possessions, and her wealth shall be thrown in the sea. Ashkelon shall see it and be afraid. Gaza too and shall writhe in anguish. Ekron also. But rejoice, verse 9, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on an ass. This is a messianic prophecy. A messianic prophecy. We see a messianic prophecy that goes, of course, and famously in Zechariah 12. We read of the Messiah piercing. Zechariah 10 goes on to give comfort to Israel. He goes on. It talks about the shepherds who have scattered the flock, the wicked shepherds. And when it talks about God going to raise my shepherd, it's talking about Jesus, the true shepherd of the flock. The shepherd that God said, I'm going to provide a shepherd for you. I know what this tells me, it assures me. Brethren, this is really true, you know. The ministers in the church of God have caused the most trouble in the church of God. The ministers in the church of God have oppressed the people. The ministers have caused pain in the church of God. The ministers have been a terror. The church of God has produced some of the worst leaders in the history of the world. Lead the people astray. Not the shepherds of the world. The shepherds of the world lead the people astray because they are God. But I'm talking about God's. When the Bible talks in Jeremiah about the shepherds that lead people astray, no. It's not talking about Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists. Because they were not God's shepherds. It's God's shepherd talking about lead people astray. That's why you have to know the Bible for yourself. God shepherds lead people astray. But notice what God says. Him going to provide him shepherd. Sit down, run all over the place like these people in the church of God. Run all over the place and come to nothing. Be still. And watch the salvation of the Lord. Zechariah 10. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for want of a shepherd. My anger is against the shepherds. And I will punish the leaders. Let me tell you something. You don't have to take up any hand for punishing the leaders. God will punish them. Listen, my man. Left me to God. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You can't punish me as much as God. So left me to God. Fear, look up puny punishment. Can't affect me. When you talk about me, you can't affect me. Me go on and enjoy life and a bask in a prosperity. Left me to God. When God start to lick me, me can't wink. Just rest. For the Lord of hosts cares for his flock. You see all that going in the church and how the ministers and people mash up the church and break up the church and different groups? Don't worry about it. God still loves us. Not because the church is so splintered. It means God loves us and God is providing a way of escape. Just cool it. And a time is coming. You see the millennium? It also represents the time when we are going to have the true leader. If not when judged by the ear. Sometimes we as ministers, you know, we judge by the ear and the ears, you know. Sometimes I hear say, Father, you know, as ministers, you know. Sometimes we're not judged justly, you know. We are very flawed. I'm telling you the truth. But a time is coming when there's going to be a judge who will judge with righteousness. There's going to be a leader who will have perfect knowledge. And because of perfect knowledge, he will understand you, my sister. He will understand you, my brother, when pastor doesn't understand you. God is going to send you a leader to finally understand you. And I tell you, you have that leader already. And he's your high priest. So at some time, don't worry about pastor. Because somebody higher than him, thank God. And that man understands you fully. Even when pastor do understand you. So many assurances in the book of, Zechariah. So many things. So many things to help us. so many things to encourage us. And in Zechariah 14, we come to the ultimate. We come now to that day when the spoil taken from you will be divided in the midst of you. And I'm going to get not just four nations now. I'm going to get all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses plundered, the women ravished. Half, but listen to me, don't worry about that. When the problems come, don't worry about that. It's always darkest before dawn. Night must turn into day. But the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. And on that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies between Jerusalem and the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. There shall be a valley of mammoth size. On that day there shall be neither cold nor frost, and there shall be continuous day. Verse 9, and the Lord will become king over all the earth. On that day the Lord will be one and his name one. Then everyone who survives, hallelujah, of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the Lord, the King of hosts, and to keep his Feast of Tabernacles. And if any of the families of the earth do not, hey, this is not a Jewish thing. No. Listen to me. If any of the families say, them not believe in this, them believe in Christmas, them not believe in a Jewish thing, them believe in Ramadan. If any of them want to build their Muslim temple and their Muslim mosque, and them want to carry out them thing, listen to me. We're going to have none of it in the kingdom. No, we don't want a Muslim mass. No, we don't want it. We don't want no Hindu temple. We don't want it. We don't want no Mormon ward. We don't want it. We don't want any ashram. We don't want any guru with him ashram. We will lock down all the ashrams. We're going to lock down all of these temples, mass. By the way, we're going to lock down the cathedrals too, you know. We're going to lock down the stained glass churches. We're going to turn them into schools. We're going to turn them into workhouse. All these big cathedrals. We're going into the Basilica in Rome. And we're going to turn that upside down. Hey, we're going to turn that upside down. We might even, after a time, we might even convert that into a feast site. After a time. Hey, listen to me. We're going to restore government. We're going to restore it at Jerusalem. The word is going to go out. Man from Egypt, man from other nations are going to come up to worship the Lord, the King of hosts. Let me tell you something. The Lord is returning. The kingdom will be established. We are here for the next 8 days to picture that time of restoration. But for us, it must be anticipated by repentance. It is a time for us to get our lives in order. It is a period of renewal. It is a period of repentance. We need the renewal. We need the repentance for the restoration. But God is going to come through for us. God is going to establish us. We will be the apple of God's eyes. We will restore peace and prosperity to this earth. We will do so.